This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan, and you're now listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, last week, plenty was announced during the Prihatin Rakyat stimulus package. So today, we're going to try and dissect and distill some parts that could be important to you. And to help me do that, I'll be speaking to VP Tanga, Licensed Financial Planner and Executive Director with Blueprint Planning. Tanga, thank you for joining me on the line this morning. Let's just start with some of the key concerns you're seeing with not just your clients at this point, but just people on the ground. Tanga, are you on the line there with us?
Yeah. Good morning, and thank you for having me. Yeah, the income, before I touch on the income, recently there was a survey done by SME Association of Malaysia, which was published on the 21st March. It says that 33% of the SMEs having cash flow until March only. And then another 37.8% are having the cash flow until April. So it's like only 30% of the SMEs are having cash flow beyond April. Now, this may not be the entire indication of the Malaysian scene, but then it could be early indication of what may happen to SMEs and the workforce. So come back to your questions. Income is the main concern now. You see, because the SME employers, they are also worried whether they can continue the business or they may have to cut down their operations. And they also do not know how long will it take for them to go back to the normal operation, full operation. On the employee side, when the employees are having this issue, of course, employees also are having issues like they are worried about pay cut, even losing their job and all that. So when the income is disturbed or when the income have reduced, so the second issue which is related is the expenses or the cash flow. Okay, so if the cash flow remains or increase, then it's going to be a big issue. Okay, so let's see on the, what you are supposed to do on the cash flow. So first you have to look at, estimate your pay cut or drop in the income. Everybody knows about your business or your company that you are working for so long. Okay, calculate your fixed expenses and essential expenses. Cut down all the unnecessary expenses. Some expenses may increase. I give you an example. Your utility bill may increase. Even that, government have given some discount. Okay, some expenses may drop. Petrol, toll, even dining hall and all that. But you must remember, when you calculate your expenses, the fixed and the essential, remember to sacrifice and to tighten up your belt for those who are really having this issue. Okay? Find out the gap. If it is positive, that means you don't have any issue with the minimum income you expect, you can run your family, that means your lifestyle, then you can continue with your lifestyle. You don't even have to think about the moratorium and whatnot. Okay? Let's say if you don't have, you have a gap, then you have to look into your emergency fund. Okay? If it covers at least 6 months of your expenses, then you are more or less a bit safe. But again, it depends on how long will it take for you or your business to recover to the normal, back to normal. So if it takes more than 6 months, then your calculation will be different. If it takes less than 6 months, then you need less cash. Okay,
so
now,
Tanga, what is there in the stimulus package to help people with incomes then?
I think I will cover shortly. Okay. Just to complete. Okay. Let's go back to stimulus as you ask. Okay. I can categorize stimulus package as three categories. Okay. First is by the government, where they give you cash handouts. I'm looking at it as there is no payback when you take these handouts. There is no payback. There is no add back. That means you have to pay back later. Or even if you are not using your future money. Okay, this is mostly for the B40 and some M40. I give you one example. Government is going to give about 1,600 for household income earning, which is less than 4,000. And if you're already registered with income tax or IRB, you will receive the notification. If not, you have to register. And then another example is the discount on the bills and all that, utility bills like TNB, okay, and free internet. All these are the government gives, thanks to the government, and you don't have to pay. So this is, if you are eligible, take it. The second is using our future money. This is a bit interesting. You see, government allows you or allows us to use our EPF and PRS savings. So EPF and PRS savings are for our retirement. Okay, so withdrawal, say there are a few type of withdrawals and reductions. First is you may withdraw 500 ringgit per month for 1 year. And once you applied and approved, you can't stop halfway. So it's about 6,000 from account two. Okay, and the second is you may reduce your EPF contribution from 11% came to 7%, now to 4%. Now, you may also, I won't say save, you will receive some additional as an income. Okay. Now, if you look at calculate, you know, on the basis of 5.5% interest, let's say you are going to retire in 10 years' time. How much will this 6,000 cost? It will cost about 10,000 ringgit. If you're going to retire in 15 years, it will cost 13,000 ringgit from your retirement account. And let's say you are going to receive another 500 by reducing your contribution. So another 10,000 or 15,000 or more. So it is not small amount. That means you are taking your future money. You are going to use your future money. Similar to PRS, they allow you to take 1,500 ringgit. So similar calculation will do. PRS may give you a slightly more return, depends on what fund you are investing. Okay, so my question all to you is, are you willing to use this future money? If you got no choice, maybe this could be one of the source for you to use it. Then the third one, which is quite interesting, is the moratorium. Okay, the government, you see, many people have misunderstood saying that it is no additional interest and this and that. And it is not that the government asks you to take it, force you to take it, or you must take it, okay? It is a choice. You see, for car loans and personal loan, yes, there won't be any additional interest because the interest is calculated upfront, but you still have to pay another additional 6 months. But it doesn't apply to home loans because home loans, the interest still runs. So towards the end, after the 6th month, okay, after the 6 months, it depends on what type of loans. So you see, the home loans are varied. There are different type of home loans. So the interest rate and the calculation also varies. So you have to talk to your bank. After the 6 months, you may have to increase your installment, or you may have to extend your tenure more than 6 months. Not just 6 months. So the question is, yes, you may take it, but you have to make sure that after the MCO, after the 6 months, your income must come back to normal or more than what you are earning now. If not, you are going to get into cash flow trouble again, and this time it will be worse than earlier.
So Tanda, I just want to clarify one point here. Yeah. So the interest over the next 6 months is still charged, but it's just postponed until later in my. Let's take the mortgage for example. Yes. So while some banks are not compounding the interest, I still may end up paying more later on. Correct?
Yes. Yes. You're right.
All right, Tanga, we're just going into a few messages right now. And when we come back, we'll be getting into how to prepare for possibly job losses and how EIS, the Employment Insurance System, works. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're now tuned in to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. And I'm Roshan Kanisin. I'm speaking to right now VP Tanga, Licensed Financial Planner and Executive Director at Blueprint Planning, trying to break down the stimulus package. And earlier we talked about some of the things that you can get from the stimulus package, as well as whether you should be taking up loan moratoriums or withdrawing money from your EPF account too. Now, Tanga, are you there on the line with us? Right now, I want to get into concerns over job losses have increased, Tanga. How does anyone prepare for job losses. Is there, and what does the what infrastructure do we have in place to protect us?
Okay, of course, when you lost a job, you may also looking for temporary jobs and all that. Yes, but beside that, those who are in the private sector, the employee and the employer would have contributed to EIS, the employee insurance, where it may come in handy. Okay, there are five categories of monetary benefits an employee can claim from this scheme. First is job search allowance, where let's say you only had one job and you have lost it, then you can claim or you may claim under this category. Second is reduced income allowance, meaning that you had more than one job and now you have lost one of it. So it comes under this category of reduced income allowance. And the third one is the training fee up to 4,000, meaning that the government encourage you to upgrade yourself or skills to increase your your marketability of your skills and your knowledge. So you may register, you may go for a training up to 4,000, and this scheme will pay about a maximum 4,000. The next one is training allowance. Okay, training allowance is that they give a certain amount, quite small amount, if you are attending a training on a monthly basis or a daily basis. So you may also qualify, but you have to give a proof of the training needed. And for the third one, for the training fees, the fees will be directly paid to the organization or institution which conduct the training. Okay, the last one is the early reemployment. Let's say your application is approved and you are on a 6 months period of this scheme. Then you start, also looking for job and all that. Let's say by the second or third month, you already got a job. So there's remaining 3 or 4 months of that benefit. The scheme will pay you some percentage on that. So you're still eligible to get some portion of it. So all these are available, full information are available in the SOCSO or Precasos website, and they encourage you to apply online. And it is not automatic. You have to apply, and then by approval, then you will be eligible for one or more of these benefits.
So, Tanga, that's the possible protection I could have if I'm a private employee from the EIS side. Is there anything else in terms of how I should prepare for job losses? I mean, the common thing we always talk about is having emergency funds. But at this point, a crisis is not a time to shore up emergency funds. That is something that I should have done beforehand. But right now, how else can I either brace myself through something like this or prepare or at least tide my way through this?
Okay. The first thing is emergency funds are not to be accumulated during emergency time. Okay, we should have done it earlier. Now, we missed that. So what we have to do, as I shared earlier, tighten up your expenses is very, very important. This is a time you have to learn how to sacrifice. That is one. Second, let's say the worst scenario, you still have gap. Then you look into the other, beside the government handouts, the other resources like the EPF just now, and finally the moratorium. So you may not need to take all the moratorium. Let's say you have a 2 housing loan, 3 car loans, and all, even personal loan. So you don't have to go for moratorium for all. You just pick and choose one or two, and then you use that money to pile up your cash flow emergency fund. Okay, now, then you try your level best to use within that. And if possible, if you can save even better, after the moratorium, you can use this balance money. Okay, let's say after moratorium or after you already back to normal, then you see that you still have cash. So you may even pay back. Even EPF, for example, you can do your own personal contribution, okay? So you have to register and also you have a choice to close the gap, or whatever you have taken, you can still pay back, provided you are very prudent in your expenses. And make sure that your income after the MCO, after the 6 months, should be at least come back to normal or more. So you may even work now, most of us are at home. think about ways to improve yourself, you know, to increase your knowledge. You know, there are a lot of business, gig economy and so on. So please, maybe you think about other income sources while you are at home. You know, instead of sometimes, you know, just watching TV all the time. So use some time for us to improve ourselves, discuss with your spouse, with your family members and so on.
So, Thanga, all of this, really, all of the these plans that have come out are really to address cash flow issues, whether it's a financial aid or whether it's the loan moratorium or even cutting your EPF rate to 7% or taking up the 500 ringgit, the 500 ringgit withdrawal every month for a year. But all of this comes at an opportunity cost, essentially, right? And it really does come down to whether I have a cash flow issue or not. Now, if I don't have a cash flow issue, let's say I do have emergency funds, should I still take up this money that these facilities, essentially, that the government is making available? Or is it more expensive in a way? What is the opportunity cost there?
Okay, it's a very good question, Roshan. If you have the emergency fund, enough funds, some of my clients have even 1 year emergency fund, then you don't have to go into all these things, you see? I mean, why you want to go into this moratorium and then you have to pay back and all that? So the first choice is you don't have to. Some may think that you may use this higher purchase vehicle loan for temporary may use and all that. But it's individual. But if you feel that you do not need to use, please don't use it. Okay? Because other than that, the first choice where the government gives, if you're eligible, take it. That will be my answer.
Okay, and Thanga, there was also the credit card portion, right, where you could convert your outstanding bills, outstanding statement amount into a term loan. What are the benefits of doing that?
Okay, again, it's a bit tricky. You see, you can convert and then you may pay, you know, so that means you are reducing the interest from 18% to maybe 7 to 10%. But the tricky part here is, after the moratorium, you will be incurring, of course, additional debt monthly installment. Compared to your paying credit card, of course, this is better. But again, you must make sure that even though this smaller installment that you're going to pay, you must have the cash flow. You must have that income. Okay? If not, it will be creating another issue. So it is good. But then make sure your income is enough even to pay that.
All right.
Okay, so it boils down to the income.
Okay. So all of the you have to know whether you can afford to take it, know the pros and cons of taking it, and also more importantly, determining whether you have what your cash flow needs.
Yep.
Now, Thanga, as a lot of information has come through the internet, a lot of resources out there, but some not as good as others. Do you have any recommendations for, let's say, anyone who's at home and they want to learn more, they want to know what their options are, they want to ask questions? Do you have any resources for us?
Yes, we have a few. In fact, Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, FPAM, has come up with a few initiatives. One of it is they have Facebook Live every day, Monday to Friday at 8 p.m., where licensed financial planners will be addressing some key topics related to these turbulent times. And public can log in and also can ask questions. So they can log in to FPAM Family Facebook, and then from there they take on. They also allow or assist people to have webinars in their firm or even a group. So also may contact FM for further information.
All right, Thanga. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. I was speaking to VP Thanga, the licensed financial planner and executive director at Blueprint Planning. And he mentioned webinars just now, actually. And BFM is hosting our first ever webinar today at 11 a.m. And we're talking about the loan moratorium. And this time we'll be speaking to Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK, the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency. Listeners of Ringgit and Sense will recognize her from a few weeks ago when we talked about debt, affordable debt, and how to work with that. So if you're wondering whether you should take the loan repayments, the loan break from your loan, this might be the webinar for you. Join us at 11 a.m. But please reserve a seat or reserve a spot anyway at bfm.my/webinar to join us at 11 a.m. today. Now, this was Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next is the 10 a.m. news bulletin, and then we're handing it off to Enterprise. I'm Roshan Karnison, signing off for the morning run. BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.